Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The Red Sox front office report this week brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by findmassmoney.gov. And it is the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox who joins us this week, Craig Breslow. Hey, Craig, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing well. I wish we had a result to talk with you about that was one other than a sweep here in this series with the Angels. Where are you this morning on what is going on currently with this baseball team?
Yeah, I think we need to play better, and we need to play better across every aspect of the game. We saw it in glimpses where the rotation carried us for about a 2-week stretch, and then we had some good offensive performances. But watching the games, you can see a play or two or three each night and say that's going to drive a loss instead of a great play that's going to lead to a win. And there have been base running mistakes and defensive miscues, and then, you know, the inability to make a big pitch when the game is on the line, and you put that all together. And after that really good stretch of games that we had been playing, we're back under 500, and we're still trying to figure out how to put it all together.
In the nine games prior to the Devers trade, the team was 7-2. Since the trade, the team is 3-6. Did you expect a result like that when it came to trading Rafael Devers?
No. You know, I thought that we would continue to play good baseball, and I still think that we'll play good baseball. But, you know, I don't think that these losses can be distilled down to one player, one spot in the lineup. You know, we haven't been playing great defense. We haven't been running the base as well. And we haven't been pitching well. You know, and so we've been finding too many different ways to lose games to be able to say, hey, this is the one reason.
Craig, I know you said that you guys need to play better overall, but focusing on the pitching, besides Crochet, it's been a bumpy road for a lot of your guys. Do you feel like Andrew Bailey is still the right guy for this job?
I do, and I understand the performance and the questions that would lead to, but I also know the conversations that are going on every day and the work that Andrew and the rest of our pitching group are doing to try to get the ship moving in the right direction. And, you know, it's been inconsistent. We've seen glimpses of success, and Lucas has thrown the ball much better lately, and we've seen Bayo pitch deeper into games and use some different weapons with a you know, with a cutter pitch that's been really effective for him. I think the consistency is the thing that's been holding us back.
Craig, we're just a little bit over a month away from the trade deadline. You guys are in a position where you're 2.5 games out of a wild card, and if you kind of continue to play up and down baseball, you'll be in that similar position come trade deadline. Is it safe to say that you guys are going to be active buyers when it comes to helping this baseball team come trade deadline because you now have some cash that freed up for the Devers trade?
Yeah, so two things. There's obviously a lot of baseball between now and then. But we absolutely went into this season with the expectation that we were going to compete and looking to the trade deadline as an opportunity to bolster the team. That's still where our heads are. We want to add to this team. We want to improve our chances down the stretch because we still think that this is a team that's capable of making a deep postseason run, and it's one that we believe in. Now, if the trade deadline doesn't operate the same way as free agency. So dollars are certainly helpful in that they provide flexibility, and they give us the opportunity to maybe go down paths that we wouldn't have been able to otherwise. But so does the deep farm system. And so I think there are going to be a number of different ways that we could improve the team come the deadline.
Alex Cora said yesterday that Bregman will most likely not be back until after the All-Star break. Scott Boras said this week that they would be open to talking about a longer-term deal. Have you already or will you engage in discussions about a long-term deal there?
Yeah, I think the specifics of the conversations and the timing of the conversations will remain internal. But what I'm very comfortable saying is Us has been everything that we could have asked for, both on the field. Unfortunately, he's obviously been hurt and hasn't been able to impact games on the field, but also in the clubhouse and from a leadership standpoint, not just in the way that he's helped younger players and our staff, but in the way that he's helped me and many of us in the front office. And so right now, while we're focused on doing everything we can to get him back on the field as quickly as possible, when the right time comes to have those conversations, I'm very, very confident that we will.
Why does, from your perspective, running the whole show, why does this team continue to make costly fundamental mistakes in the field and when it comes to, you know, basic stuff like base running?
Yeah, I think if there were a simple answer, then we wouldn't be talking about this anymore because we would have solved the problem.
But is it the players? Is it the manager?
I think there's responsibility that we all have to take. Now, I think recognizing that we've been kind of a poor fundamental team in the big leagues for a long time has forced us to do is look at the way that we're doing things in the minor leagues too, and question whether or not we're preparing guys to be successful at the major league level. And if you look at our performance in base running and on defense in the minor leagues at each of our affiliates, that's been struggling too. And so we've changed a lot of the way that we're training and teaching and the feedback that we're providing this year. And I think that we've seen some progress, but it's going to take some time. But my hope is that by really being willing to take like a good hard look at everything that we're doing across the organization, we're going to end up in a better place.
Craig, with Bregman still being out and likely until after the All-Star break, why move Devers before knowing when you're going to get Bregman back in some capacity?
I think there are decisions, really hard decisions, that need to be made to some degree independent of each other. And you know, we got to this place where it felt like the Raffy trade and both sides getting a fresh start was important and necessary for the direction that we were going. And that was a really hard decision. And I understand the criticism and I understand, the questions, but it was a hard decision that we had to make.
And with the Devers decision, you alluded to at the deadline that you will have cash, but you also have a deep farm system. According to multiple reports, the organization prioritized the ability to offload the entire contract over better prospects and eating some of the money with Devers. Wouldn't you have been able to accomplish two things if you traded Devers, ate some of the contract, and got assets that would help your major league club now?
I think that would devalue the players that we did get back. And by that, I mean that we really like the players that we have back. You know, if you were to say today, what are the areas that we think we need to improve? Certainly the bullpen, and particularly the back end of the bullpen, just given the workload that guys like Chapman and Weissert and Whitlock and Wilson have taken on. And we think in Jordan Hicks, we did get, a dominant back end reliever. I would point to starting pitching and say, you know, we just talked about the inconsistency in the rotation, and Harrison is somebody that we had identified as a couple of things that he can work on. And then we think he's going to help us and not just help us as, you know, somebody who pitches at the back of a rotation, but somebody who can pitch behind Garrett, and win big games for us. So I think in a lot of ways, We have brought back players that we believe can address some of the deficiencies on our major league team.
But you're a major leaguer, Craig. Like right now, you have a weekend series against the Blue Jays at Fenway Park. You're 40-42. If you're in that clubhouse, why do you care about 2 months down the line? Don't you need people to help you win now?
Absolutely. And there's a ton of belief from those 26 guys in each other. And there's a ton of belief from us in the office and our coaching staffs in those guys. And you know, they absolutely were surprised by the trade and the timing of the trade. But in the conversations that I had with each of them and in the comments that they made publicly, they talked about believing in each other, having a job to do, and preparing to win that night's game.
Craig, when you were, and I know it's kind of going back a little bit, but when you're looking at trading a guy like Devers, or just trading a player in general, and there are some issues about maybe a guy not being a team player, did that kind of close maybe potential trading partners with you that might had a few questions about his attitude and if he would be willing to do other things?
Hard for me to answer how other teams were viewing the situation. I think most people recognize that they don't have all of the facts and all of the details, and that could work in both directions. But this was not personal, and Rathi is not a bad guy. The unfortunate thing is that we just got to a place where it was best for both sides to get that fresh start that I'm talking about. But we saw the way that Rathi endeared himself to the San Francisco fans in a really short amount of time, and he's a really good player and a really good hitter, and he's not a bad guy.
Craig, when we were asking you about Roman Anthony and when you guys were going to call him up, over and over again, you stated and kind of emphasized the importance of him and being able to handle kind of the pressure that you're going to put him in. Now that he's here, things have kind of spiraled. Do you think that he's handling that pressure well? What changed in your mind that you could put him into this position now rather than earlier this season?
Sure. So I guess to the first question, is he handling the pressure well? Based on conversations with him and the way that he's handling himself in the clubhouse, I think the answer is yes. And I was incredibly impressed with his maturity and selflessness when I met him last year, and then in spring training when he was around our major league team. His makeup is special, and I think if there's anyone who could handle the pressure and demands of playing in Boston, Roman can. What changed, obviously, is Willie had gotten hurt and was on the IL, so there was a clear opportunity for him to come up and get regular playing time. And then with the Rathi trade and the ability to use kind of four outfielders across three outfield spots and the DH, I think some of the pressure of feeling like you have to perform from bat number one, and if you don't get a hit today, you're not going to play tomorrow, has been removed. And that's some of the pressure that we're talking about, not just the ability to come up and save a season or carry a team, but being able to show up at the park every day and know that you're going to play regardless of how yesterday's performance went.
I was just asking on Roman Anthony, Craig. He's obviously the best prospect in baseball. He comes up. Why did you fire the scout that signed him? Like, if we're talking about this great player and how he's going to change the shape of the organization, and he's this most valued commodity, it feels like you'd want to have people that could find that talent around your club.
Sure. And I don't think it's fair to anybody to get into specifics of a particular decision, but what I can say is, as an organization, we value every person, and there are a lot of great people who are doing a ton of really hard work. Anytime we have had to make a decision to move on from somebody, it's been really, really difficult and keeps me up at night because we know we're impacting people's lives and their families. But the reality is, the game has changed, and the game has changed because the players have changed over the last 20 years. And if we're going to get where we need to go, which is to win a World Series, then we're not going to get there by doing things the exact same way that we have for the last 20 years. And so it's not that we have diminished the role or the importance of scouts. It's that we've asked them to take on some different responsibilities. And that's true across the office, and that's what drove the disruption here over the last year and a half.
You talked earlier about this team. You still believe in them. You still believe they have the opportunity to be there come playoff time. So if the trade deadline were today, would you be a buyer or a seller?
Yeah, we would be looking to improve our team. We'd be looking to improve our team for 2025 because despite the fact that we haven't been able to strung together the consistent performance that we think we're capable of, we're still very much staring down wild card chances. And you know, nobody has really run away with the AL East. And so as we start to get healthy and we start to look externally about ways that we can improve the team, we think we've got a good chance to make a deep postseason run.
Okay. All right. Well, we appreciate you, as always, taking the time. We are next Thursday, our final road show. We are on the Dive, which is a floating bar, Lake Winnipesaukee. I would invite you, if you want, to do the front office report live from the Dive, Winnipesaukee. I don't know if you're available, but we'd love to have you up there.
No, depending on how the next week goes, I might be able to make myself available. How big is the bar?
Okay, all right.
Pretty big.
All right.
I'm sure you like to, I don't know if you're a swimmer or not, but you just like to have a good time in the sun, but we'd love to have you there.
I appreciate it, guys.
All right. Craig Breslow, thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right, we can get nuggets.
Yeah, I got a couple.
Curtis. Yeah. What a question about the scout. Yeah.
And it was I got a good nugget from that question.
You did?
Yeah, basically, like, listen, I'm the boss.
Do you do Polynesian sauce, barbecue?
No, I'm the boss. Here's what we're doing. We're changing some things. I don't care if you've been a scout here for 60 years. If you don't buy into what I'm kind of preaching, the new philosophy, your ass is on the street.
Okay. All right, well, coming up, we will play your Hill Notes back. You still have time to leave a quick one on the Odyssey app. And a reminder that if you cannot listen to this station on the radio, you can not only listen on the Odyssey app if you download it, but you can also stream it at WEEI.com. And here is Courtney with what is trending.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. The Red Sox dropped their third and final with the Angels, getting swept after jumping out with a 2-0 lead in the first. Final score 5-2. Richard Fitz went four innings, giving up two runs on four hits while striking out six. That score brought to you by Mass State Lottery. Let's make it the best night ever. Grab your friends, pick your numbers, and celebrate the night with Keno and the Mass State Lottery. You must be 18 years or older to play. The guys off tonight before returning to Fenway to take on the Blue Jays tomorrow. Cooper Flagg is headed to Dallas. The Maine native was the number one overall pick last night in the 2025 NBA draft. The Celtics took forward Hugo Gonzalez from Real Madrid with their number 28 pick. The Bruins are showing off their new identity with refreshed logos and uniforms. The focus is the future. Cam Neely released a statement about the looks, saying next season marks the start of a new chapter in Boston Bruins history. And as we turn the page, we are excited to do so with a new look and feel, combining some fan favorite elements from the past with a refreshed style. These sweaters are going to look sharp on TD Garden's ice in the fall. And the lobster rolls are back at the Nines. Visit your local 99 today and try their famous colossal lobster rolls, 100% North Atlantic lobster, piled high on grilled brioche, served hot buttered or with just the right amount of mayo and celery. With fries and coleslaw, you gotta love the Nines. That's what's trending. Hill Notes coming up next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Jones and Keith coming up at 10, and then we are on our way north to Rockport. Pregame tonight for the road show tomorrow is at My Place by the Sea, and $10 from every single Absolute Ocean Spray cocktail that you purchase goes to help the Porter family of Rockport, who we are raising money for this evening. And then tomorrow morning, we are at the Beauport Hotel, roadshow number 7, and can't wait to see you there as Gloucester gets ready to get St. Peter's Fiesta underway.
Mm. You know, I always look for the golden nuggets in every interview that we do.
I
find them all the time. They're there. You just have to listen to what people say.
Yeah. You have to use that thing that people use on the beach, the metal detector?
You might have to, but you got to really listen to what some of the things they said. And I gained a little bit of Craig Breslow as a little bit of respect. I'm no Stan like Adam Jones. But when Curtis asked that question about firing the guy.
Did you say gain?
Gained, yes. Holy.
Gained respect.
Yeah, gained a little respect. I said, okay, okay, you might be standing 10 toes down. When Curtis asked that question, and he went on to say about a year, he said it was like a year, year and a half of kind of this dysfunction of what's going on. I get it, what he did to that person or whoever by firing him, because I know this. There are a lot more smarter people out there that always tell me this. Great empires, great franchises, great societies are always brought down because there are too many people that want to buck the system because they feel like they've been there for a long time. So if you're not buying into what Craig Breslow's saying, and you're talking ish behind his back, and he's like, hey, maybe we should do this, and you're one of, and these people are so annoying, the one person who's always like, what if we did this? What if we did that? This guy's a stiff. We really doing it this way?
That's why Shime doesn't go to meetings, right? Is because of those people.
The buck the system guy.
Yes.
And I liken it to you a little bit, Greg. When you came over, the buck the system people. If you have people like that, at the end of the day, it ain't going to work. Because sooner or later, it's going to be like, wait a second. Here's my vision of how I want to do things. Oh, and by the way you've been doing them has been awful.
Yeah.
You stunk for the past three, 4 years.
That 978 texter says, obscure reference, the scene in Moneyball where the scouts are sitting around and there you got the old ones and the new ones and there's no meeting of the minds.
No, because the older ones are always like, here's how it works. Here's how we do things. I give Bill Belichick credit, and this is why I give him credit, and this is where I think, you know, as a GM, you have to be. You have to put people around you that are on and believe in your philosophy on how you want to do things. And the ones that might have a little hesitation, as long as they're willing to say, okay, all right, how can that work? How can I help? Maybe I don't agree with everything, but there's still the positive people in that room that say, okay, what about this? That I could tell when he brought up a year or a year and a half, I could tell he was dealing with a lot of those people that were like, you know, this guy doesn't know what he's doing.
No one's going to talk about him calling him a stiff in front of the rest of the company again. I can guarantee you that. Like, he made a statement with that one.
Right.
But here's my issue, Wiggs. So you're standing, if you're Craig Breslow, on the shoulders of these scouts that are the players that they signed, they found, they brought in prior to your arrival.
Yes.
And now you're beaming about the best farm system in baseball, Baseball America. We have these incredible assets.
Right.
That you had nothing to do with.
Right.
Craig Breslow didn't hire the people that signed these guys.
No, I know that.
So he's saying and trumpeting the arrival of Roman Anthony as if it's his accomplishment when the guy that actually brought him here is out of a job.
Well, the guy, the reason why the guy's out of the job is because he wanted to buck the system.
Buck what system? He brought in Roman Anthony.
No, the system.
What are you talking about?
He's not a fan of system buckers.
No. So I guess I gotta explain it to Curtis. Where
also this show was trying, I think you saw an example of it yesterday. We were trying to buck the system that has existed for 100 years in Gloucester when it comes to the greasy pole.
Right. We were trying to do that. But I guess maybe when I got to explain to him what buck the system means.
I know exactly what it means.
It means
not going in the same direction.
Yeah, it means somebody. Exactly. Not going in. So right. When I say buck the system.
Let's say it again.
Craig Breslow's philosophy is this. Uh-huh. And then that person goes, I don't like that direction you're going in, Craig. And feels like I've been here for X amount of years, and I'm going to let you know that you're an effing stiff, or I'm going to let other people know behind your back.
I think one of Belichick's greatest strengths was how things were. If you helped him win, he would tolerate a lot. He didn't care about the social medias, all that stuff. That Bill Belichick had people around him that weren't, when he was very successful, that weren't his best friends, but were diligent, hardworking people that worked bigger, longer hours than anybody else, that were fully and steadfastly, singularly focused on winning. That was what mattered, not about any of the other stuff.
No, but they were all his guys. They were his guys.
Well, Scott Pioli is the son-in-law of Bill Parcells.
Yeah, but Pioli was in New York with me and the Jets.
Right,
and
he was a Parcells guy.
Yeah, but he was a helper there. So he took those guys. But remember,
his biggest enemy was Bill Parcells at the time,
no.
And he hired the guy's son-in-law.
His enemy was not necessarily Parcells. He didn't want Parcells looming over him in New York.
Parcells and Belichick's breakup. In the late 90s, early 2000s.
Curtis, I was there in New York when the breakup happened.
Right. He quit on a napkin.
Yeah, Bill Belichick did not want Bill Parcells looming over him and getting in the way of maybe some of the decisions that Bill wanted to make for the football team, and Parcells going, wait a second.
He wanted him to get out of from under the shadow of Bill Parcells.
And by doing that, but he also took guys that he built relationships with and that he trusted. And some of those guys were Scott Pioli. Some of those guys that he had relationships that he built with were, you know, whether it's the Romeo Crennels or it's the Charlie Weisses. These are guys that he built relationships with and he trusted, where Breslow's like, I'm trying to build relationships with these guys and they're going behind my back.
Right. That's why he is in favor of bringing in robots to replace all human beings.
You want to know the big takeaway quickly before we get to Hill Notes?
Yes.
Craig Breslow has job for life for John Henry. He is never going anywhere. If it's not even a question to me anymore. Like, based the way he answered your question about buy or sell at the end of the interview.
Yeah.
And you said, can you promise that you will buy something to that effect? And he's like, we will improve the team. It's like he just doesn't even.
Can't say the word buy.
No. Right. No.
He does not want to say the word buy.
He is fluent in John Henry.
All right. Let's get the Hill Notes brought to you by Coleman Electric. If you need an electrician, call Coleman.
It's electric.
Welcome back to the Greg Hill Show, and we will be right back after this break.
Listen, pay the bills.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. I guess we could go to some sort of a pay-for-broadcast model.
Mm. Ooh, Patreon.
No commercials. You just pay to be a member and listen that way. That'd be the other way we could do it. Otherwise, the content is free to you.
Right.
You just have to patronize our sponsors. Go ahead.
Curtis, you're such a moron. Nobody is saying, go owner, save your money. We just live in reality. We know that they're not going to spend the money, so they have to be responsible with it. Get a clue.
Oh, okay. Well, then stop buying tickets.
Well, he made it sound like they were going to be biased. You know?
He did not. Improving.
No, he didn't. He wouldn't say the word buy.
He said, well, you know, when you
it's
have...
It's like how Fonzie could never say the word sorry.
Yes.
He can't say the word buy.
Topical.
It's not allowed to say that. Nobody over there is allowed to say the word buy or spend.
Hey, guys. Forget a doctor. The Red Sox need to hire a computer engineer. John Henry needs to pay whatever it costs to run a full diagnostics test on Theo Epstein and figure out what software he currently runs on. And then they need to upload that software into Craig Breslow. And if Craig Breslow isn't compatible with that software, he needs to go.
We talked about it early this morning. I would do whatever it takes to get Theo more involved in the baseball operation. Craig Breslow would not object to that. The two of them are.
I don't know.
What? That's his mentor.
But it becomes more chefs
would you object
in the kitchen.
When it comes to radio, your mentor, your radio mentor was Pebbles. Would you?
Yes, he was.
Would you object to Pebbles coming back in some kind
strongly
of
object, Your Honor. I strongly, strongly object.
Maybe I would bring her in for some kind of an advisory role or something.
No, then I guess what? I would probably be one of those guys that's bucking the system. I'd be all like, you know,
Objection.
Courtney in the back, like, Greg is such an effing stiff.
I the one thing I wish Greg heard was the full story Courtney and I got driving home from dinner in Florida.
Oh, about Pebbles?
Oh, yes. My God. Oh, boy, I am on Team
Snakes
Wiggy.
In the grass. Be careful.
No love lost there, I'll tell you.
No, be careful when you get bit by
Wiggy
a venomous.
Yeah.
Oh, did he?
Hands down. Yeah. No Vaseline, neither.
Oh,
jeez.
What is going on with the show this morning? First, Curtis says designator hitter. Greg says David Van Halen. Ugh.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't get that. I got even got a text about it.
I was like, I didn't call it out.
There's two. Yeah. What would you call out?
Well, because people were texting me saying that it was not the person that.
No, but I knew what Greg was saying.
You didn't get it either.
No.
Yes.
That's the comedy. Yes.
Yeah.
There's Dave Van Halen or there's Sammy
Van Halen.
You don't know that. There were a couple lead singers of Van Halen.
Yeah.
It is I, bald white man of privilege, from Southie, with a huge ego. I am here demanding the resignation of one Alex Cora, for he does not live up to my royal standards. He has not gone by 4 p.m. today. I refuse to eat my Ovaltine or pay my Neiman Marcus charge, and I will only leave my dwelling to respond to my mentor Ken.
I like it.
Ovaltine. Curtis feels strongly about Alex Cora reaching the end, I think, from the organization's perspective. That's what you think should happen. So,
LOL. No.
So Wiggy wants 200 just to pay out 500 and then wants $80 in interest. Does that math make math?
No,
I want my $380 in interest, $20 a day juice. For the days, and it was, 19 days where she didn't pay me.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So the days are adding on. That's $20 a day, so it's more than that.
Your days are adding up, let me tell you.
Jackson here. Shine, if you want disco, you got it.
We want Shine. We want Shine. We want Shine's the new recruit. We want Shine. We want Shine. We want Shine's the new recruit.
I'm very into the disco genre of late, so don't be surprised if you see him doing the Saturday Night Live, mm-hmm. Saturday Night Fever. The hand gestures as he's walking down the street,
pointing to the sky
in a white suit, like John Travolta.
Get some bell bottoms.
The Winnipesaukee Road Show will be known as the record number of dumbbells.
Can't wait for it.
Yeah.
So next week, hoping the weather is going to cooperate. Looks like it's going to be okay, I think.
Jeez.
And so we can't wait to get up there and see you in New Hampshire next week.
Hey, guys. Please tell me that was a paid actor, Tom from Gloucester, and not some fake wannabe gangster representing the mean streets of Gloucester. Come on.
Nope. Yeah. That's a real guy.
Oh, yeah.
And I assume we're going to meet him tomorrow. I can't wait.
Yeah.
He's very into it. Very, very into the tradition of the greasy pole. And who are we to expect that they would alter the way they have executed a long-term tradition for a long period of time?
Yeah, Greg, I'm really into LARPing. It doesn't make me look like not a boob.
Yeah, but this thing has gone back to the early 1900s, and they said it was a 19th century when the Sicilians came over.
But they've let other people cut the line before.
I don't know.
You got to be a special person.
Yeah.
Sure, I'm special.
I mean, listen, maybe we can make nice with Tom tomorrow morning, the chief poll watcher. Is that his title?
I think so.
maybe
wasn't
we can,
there? Never mind. Nope.
We can maybe make nice with him and get Shine up there next year.
Right.
Maybe.
What do you think he says about sprinter Chris Robinson's poll? I mean, if you're the chief poll watcher, right?
I don't.
They'd have to buy a lot of that slippery stuff to cover it.
I don't know.
Curtis, you are a lingering fart, numbnuts.
It's hurtful.
I do not agree.
After hearing Dumbest of the Day, this is what I think about England.
Well, the guy may lose his job as a law enforcement officer.
Well, six inches is relatively close.
What? I thought we were back to the pole.
Oh, to somebody's face?
I guess it's like pull my finger and it's like
seven is
dominated
nuts,
the world.
Though.
What do they call it? Crop dusting?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe that works, but if you literally.
What do they call it?
If you're getting on the table and getting 6 inches in front of her face.
Somebody just left. Left that as a
love. That's font. It. The whole entire Hill Note was that.
I love font sounds.
I love our audience.
Damn it, Shyam. Why do you play the song that everybody knows? Play the song that nobody knows. Ugh.
Was that the Hootie song?
Yeah. It's a great
What's
song.
What's it called?
State Your Peace.
All right. That's Darius Rucker.
It's an unbelievable song.
Okay.
It's not known, but that don't you want to discover music that you don't know about?
No. I don't know. When I play songs that you've never heard, you give me crap for playing
too deep
cuts. Yeah, because
they're not good songs. That song...
That's Jackson all day.
That's the clarification.
Yeah, you're being fraudulent, Greg. You attack Jackson
oh
if he plays
God.
Old,
That's
not
the best
well-known.
Hootie song ever.
Wow.
Like last summer, they played that at Fenway. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Gotta love Hootie.
I might have you rejoin. Can we rejoin with the same artist twice in a show? I might have you rejoin.
Sure, show, that. Man. You can do whatever you want.
May have you rejoin with that before we get out of here.
Good morning. The message is for Greg Hill. Greg, this is Dave Van Halen.
Woo!
Thanks, my friend. I've always wanted to be a Van Halen, and I heard you made me one this morning on the air. Attaboy! I wish they all could be Massachusetts girls! You all are frauds on that show. If Courtney made a mistake, you guys would have ripped her. Greg makes a mistake and no one touches it. Weak, weak, particularly you, numbnuts.
I know what you were doing, though.
Yeah, I think most people did. Unfortunately, Dave's intellect level is not there to pick up on things.
That guy's a principal.
I mean, that's kind of scary.
I mean, it's like the greatest rivalry in all of music.
Yeah.
It's like, is it Dave Van Halen? I mean, some people go, you know, or Sammy Van
or
Halen.
Sammy Van Halen. It's been a discussion for 40 years.
Yes.
I don't know where the dummy principal Dave has been.
And just so people understand the man's obsession with this show, he was on hold for an hour and hung up to make the point he then made and a Hill Note.
I will say I appreciate his constant support of me.
There you go, Courtney.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Very nice. Yeah. Oh, there were two, the Van Halen brothers were both in the band.
Yeah.
Do you know their names?
One was Eddie, right?
Correct. The great guitarist. Anybody know the other one?
No, I don't know the other one.
No? Nobody?
Wait, I'm sorry. I missed the question.
The other Van Halen. So there were two Van Halen brothers in Van Halen. You had Eddie and anybody?
Mm-mm.
I have no idea.
Wolfgang's the son, right?
Yes.
The son. Yeah. Alex. Huck. Alex. Yeah. The other Van Halen member in the band.
Did Courtney say jacked? That man has boobs. No wonder he's so protective over that pole.
Yeah, I didn't get that Courtney thing either.
I think she thought it was the other guy.
Yeah,
No. That photo didn't look exactly like the video I saw yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Him in movement, he's built.
Okay.
All right.
That'll do it today, Greg.
All right, Chime. Thank you. Hill Notes brought to you by Coleman Electric. If you need an electrician, you have to call Coleman.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm ignoring the jokesters in Twitch who are trying to troll me on that. That's an unbelievable song. I said it, I meant it, and I stand by it. So have your fun with me in Twitch.
That's your favorite Hootie song?
Mm-hmm. That is my favorite Hootie song. Yes, it is.
Have you had your hearing checked?
Yes, I have. You don't like it, Shyam?
It's okay.
Okay.
I don't think you're allowed to make fun of me for some of the music I listen to when you pick that as your favorite Hootie song.
Apparently I'm on Hootie Island.
I don't know enough about Hootie to even jump into this one.
I don't know what I like more, Mac Jones or that song. That's a tough one.
Oh, that's easy.
All right.
That song.
Well, I guess we got to get out of here and head north. What time is everybody leaving?
I think I'm going to leave kind of immediately. I was planning on spending the entire day at that pool. They have a nice pool and, like, bar set up.
Well, you still can. It'll be all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool. Not as hot as yesterday. What? How does it go from 102 to 60?
So that's weather for you.
I was like, I mean, my Lord. So we'll see you tonight. And it is pregame at my place by the sea in Rockport. And 7:30 to 9:30. And then tomorrow morning, we will be at the Beauport Hotel. Roadshow number 7 in Gloucester. Got a couple last year's Greasy Pole champ joining us on the show tomorrow morning.
And the first 5 drinks that Milbury makes tonight come with a whack in the head with a shoe.
See you tomorrow. Now the time has come
for leaving. Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.